Hello and welcome to Boring Beige Box, the weekly podcast about retro computing. I'm your host, Matt Wilson. If you like to hack away at your autoexec.bat or config.sys files just so you can play King's Quest or Ultima, you're at the right place. From 2400 baud modems to IBM PS1s, to Monkey Island 2, to the Sierra Network, we cover it all if it happened in the 80s and 90s. So clean out that garage, pull out that old boring beige box, and let's have some fun. Welcome to show number 4 for May 5th, 2006. Today's topic is modems. Our website is www.boringbeigebox.com. And you can also jump on our forums at forums.boringbeigebox.com. How's it going? I'm doing pretty good today. It's the end of the week, Friday. I usually try to get the podcast out on Fridays for you guys. Things have been going pretty well with the podcast. It looks like we have about 40 to 50 listeners. That's kind of an average. It's hard to tell the statistics with Libsyn, who is my podcast hoster. I usually try to average the numbers out. We've had, you know, a couple hundred downloads, but sometimes people will download the show multiple times, so it's kind of hard to tell. But I'm thinking we have around 40 or 50 listeners, which is great. This is just the fourth week that I'm doing this, and it seems that we've gotten some definite attention. I'd like to hear from you. I haven't gotten any emails really yet. The address is podcast@boringbeigebox.com. If you like the podcast, if you are listening, if you're out there, just drop me a line. Say, hey, Matt, you're doing a great job. I really like the podcast. Just drop me a line at podcast@boringbeigebox.com. Now, there was someone that jumped on the forums. I know that, you know, setting up an account on a forum is, you know, a little time consuming, and a lot of people, there's a lot of forums out there, and I'm sure you guys are on many forums. But if you want to, it would be great just to get on there and discuss some different topics. The forums is at forums.boringbeigebox.com. We did actually have someone that registered. His name is Soyburger. That's his username on the forums. Just want to say thanks, Soyburger, for jumping on and saying that you like the podcast. I replied to your post on there, so anyway, much appreciated. Well, today's topic is modems. Modems are, well, the original modems, the dial-up modems, I feel, are pretty much dying out. The reason why I got on this topic is every week I start to try to get inspiration for deciding what I want to discuss. And this past week, I watched, I know it's a good thing and a bad thing, but I'm sure you all remember the movie Hackers, which came out in 1995. And for some reason, I started to think about hacking and just kind of the origin of hacking. And well, it's really because I got on a kick this week about bulletin board systems, and I know that there's been a lot of interest in bulletin board systems lately because of the BBS documentary by Jason Scott that came out last year. If you don't know about it, go to bbsdocumentary.com, check it out. Jason Scott is an incredible guy. He spent a couple years working on this documentary. It's a great documentary. I prepaid for it. It must have been a year or so ago, but when I found out about it, I was like, I've got to get this documentary. So I would say probably about a year or so ago, I pre-ordered it. It was $50, but let me tell you, it is well worth it. This is a documentary that he spent about 5 years working on. It has tons of interviews. Now, I don't know if it was 5 years, but it took a couple years for him to do it. I'm sorry. When I think of five, actually, it took five. It's actually 5 hours worth of documentary footage. I think it's 5 hours total with all the extras and everything. But it's a phenomenal documentary on bulletin board systems. So I started to think about that, and I'm going to rewatch it. It's been about a year since I watched it, but there was that topic kind of floating around in my head of bulletin board systems, modems, the way that we used to connect in the 80s and 90s, early 90s. The topic of modems came up, and I started to think. I was watching the movie Hackers, and I thought about, you know, the way when you look back and the technologies they talked about, it's really laughable. Like, there's one scene where the girl played by Angelina Jolie, she's very, very young in this movie. She has a new laptop, and they're all drooling over it and looking over it, and it's like, you know, one of the things was, oh, it has 28.8 baud modem, and that was like a big deal. You know, it was blazing fast. And we laugh at that now. You know, 28.8 is so incredibly slow nowadays in the world of broadband. So I started to think about modems, and I was like, okay, I got to do a show on modems. And finally, at the end of the week, during this week, when I was at work, I have a PC that actually at home, I do not have a regular phone line. I have Vonage, voice over IP, which uses my, you know, internet connection for my phone. And I don't have an actual hardwired line. So I can't actually dial out anymore if I had to use a modem. Everything's running on broadband. And so at work, I can get an outside line through my, we have a digital phone system, but you can plug in a device into the wall and you can hook up a phone line. And sometimes I'll send out mass faxes if I have to through my modem in the extra PC I have. So I said, wouldn't it be cool to actually dial up to a BBS that still exists? Now, I started looking into BBSs and thinking about BBSs over this week, and there is a website called BBS Corner, and I'm actually looking at it right now. BBS Corner, the address is actually www.dmine.com. That's D as in dog, MINE.com, dmine.com/BBS Corner. And BBS Corner has a listing of all of the current BBSs that are still out there. Now, most BBSs switched over to Telnet based, or if they're still dial up, they also have a Telnet version where you can just Telnet into the BBS, and you can do some BBSing just like you did back in the day through Telnet, which is much faster than dial up. But there are some bulletin board systems, BBSs, that are still running that are dial up. Now, when you go and look at the list, there's maybe just a few dozen, 71 actually. So that's a good number. But it's amazing to me that there are still, now people do it now just out of hobby, because obviously the BBS as we knew it back in the day is dead. But people are still doing this. People are still running these as hobbyist endeavors. And I actually dialed up to a BBS. And now through the digital system that we have at work, I think the fastest that I can get connected at is like 12 or 19 kilobits per, or 19, 12,000 or 19,000 kilobits per second. So it's very, very slow. I was amazed at how slow it was, actually sending text back and forth, just text, and the latency in that. And I'm like, I can't believe that this is what we used to do. You know, we used to dial up at these horribly slow speeds and actually try to do things. I mean, you remember how it was, you know, downloading these huge files Well, now they're nothing, you know, the file size, but a 10 megabyte file would take a day or more, or days to download. You know, and things got faster, obviously, it took hours, and then, you know, minutes eventually, but it's amazing how long we waited, and I even listened to, you know, people talk about the days of the 300 baud modem, where it was so slow. I mean, it took forever just to type, but kind of where we came in at, and the focus of this podcast is the late 80s, early 90s, early to mid 90s. And at that time, this is my recollection of having my first modem. In 1992, when I bought my first computer, a few months after that, now obviously, I think I had used, I got online as early as maybe 90, 91, that age. I mean, I was in, you know, middle school, and I think that a friend of mine, like I said, I've talked in my earlier podcast, the one that had the IBM PS1, my friend Andy, I would go over to his house, and we would dial up to the different online services. So he had a modem. Now, when I bought my first, like I said, when I bought my first computer in 1992, a couple months later, I bought a 2400 baud modem. And at that time, those modems were, you know, maybe they were under $100. So they were getting cheaper. And I think around that time, 92, was when the 9600 baud modem was more popular. And even, I think at a certain time, I'm looking here on Wikipedia. Wikipedia has a great article on modems. Just go to wikipedia.org, do a search on modem, and it's got all the history of the modem. It's pretty interesting. I mean, the modems date back to as early as the 1950s. So I would say probably around 1991 was the introduction of the 14.4. The 14, you remember the 14,400 kbps modem around 91. So at that time, actually, yeah, I was 2400 baud was pretty far behind everybody else. And then in 1994, around that time, the 2800. Or excuse me, 28.8 modem came out, which upped things pretty much. So I think that when I the first modem I got, the 2400 baud modem, I had that for the longest time, probably a year or two, and I don't even remember getting. I think I might have had a 9600. I either had a 9600 or the 14.4 modem, but for a pretty short time. But by 94 or so, I quickly upgraded to 28.8. So, I might have had a 9600 baud modem. I think when I the later computers I bought, like a Packard Bell or you know, an Compaq, those computers, they all had the modems built in, so I didn't have to actually buy the modem separately. So I think with the new computers I bought, they came with the modems, and I remember having, yeah, I did have the 9600 and the 14.4, but it wasn't such a big deal because they came bundled with the systems. So, but with that first modem, and I've told this story before in the other podcasts, I installed it, and for some reason I left the computer on, and the computer was still running, and the modem wasn't seated right in the motherboard, and I took it out or put it in or something while the computer was on, and it basically blew up, it popped, and a cloud of smoke came up, and my modem was gone, and I had to replace the modem and stuff. I had the worst time with my first computer. For some reason, the mouse would not work, and maybe it was the software, but in the Sierra network, for some reason, the modem and the mouse wanted to use the same COM port. I'm serious. Today, people have it so easy with modern computers today. Everything just works. It's with broadband now, you just plug it in, it just does everything for you. It's good to go. And a lot of the, you know, you don't have to fool with IRQ settings or COM port settings or any of that stuff today. But back then, it was a pain. You really had to be very knowledgeable about the technical insides of a computer. It was awful. It was really, really bad. So my mouse and my modem both wanted to communicate on COM1 for some reason, and I could never get it to work, the modem to work on COM3 or whatever. So when I was using the Sierra network for the longest time, I had to do it without a mouse. It was very time consuming using the keyboard trying to navigate through the Sierra network. So anyway, it was the whole modem situation was very difficult early on. But once I got everything working and maybe eventually upgrading to 9600 baud, I was using America Online a lot, downloading files like crazy all the time, but stuff took forever. I mean, 2400 baud, 9600 baud, it would take 8 hours to download some demo of like King's Quest 6 or King's Quest 5 or whatever. Or if you were downloading wares, it was a process that took weeks. I mean, there were some games that, if you were ever into the AOL wares scene, you would get, these emails in with the files attached to them. So, and they would come in all the time. And so you would always have this huge queue of files that you needed to download. And all the different games were split into multiple files. And then once you get them, then you, unrar them or unzip them, and they all combine to one, and then you can install the game and you're good to go. But that each file, would be 8 megabytes or 10 megabytes, and that would take at least 8 hours each. So it would take a week or so to get your entire game or program that you were downloading. So 2400 baud, 9600 baud sucked. It was awful. So anyway, so at that time, there was a lot of different vendors that were real popular. US Robotics was really big. Supra, who did the Supra fax modems. There were a couple other brands that there was always the generic brands, but the ones I remember the most were, Motorola did some, but I remember US Robotics the most. I had a couple different US Robotics, and I think I had a Supra at one time. So these were awesome. I mean, they were really slow, but man, you were so thankful that you had a modem and you could dial up and get online. Now, the funny thing, and the reason why I'm thinking about modems and I'm doing the show on modems is this weekend I was at Tiger Direct. Tiger Direct has a store in Orland Park, Illinois. They have a large warehouse in Naperville. So they have this outlet store you can go to and get really good prices on parts and stuff. So it's a great store over in Orland Park. And I was looking for modems, and they had them. And I was looking at them. I'm like, my word, do people still buy modems? Do you still have to go? Does anyone actually go out and still buy a modem? I'm like, I wonder how long these have been sitting on the shelf. And they had 56K modems that were like $80, like the US Robotics, real modems. Not that, there came a time when there were Win modems or soft modems that were software based, and the hardware based modems stayed very expensive. And so I saw one that was like $80 or $90, but you could buy a cheap Win modem or software based modem that's like $9.99, $10 for a modem. And I'm sure you remember back in the day, there were some modem, 2400 baud modem, 9600 baud modem. They were like a couple $100s. Like the latest 14.4 modem that came out was like $250 or, So it's amazing to me how now, today, with broadband technology, that the modem is pretty much non-existent. On the modem article on Wikipedia, it actually says that now, currently, 36% of internet connections, home connections, or residential, are dial-up modems. It says in 2000, dial-up internet connections accounted for 74%. Okay, that was in 2000. This is 6 years ago. 74% of all U.S. residential internet connections. The figure dropped to 60%. by 2003 and currently stands at 36%. So everyone has pretty much gone to broadband. I can't remember the last time I had to dial up with a modem was I lived in a townhome a couple years ago, and I think because of the old phone lines, I could only get connected at like 32 kilobits per second. So I couldn't even get the 56K. It was awful, incredibly slow. Tons of people had broadband. I mean, there were people. My wife, when she was living at home, still with her parents, like 98, 99, they had broadband. I mean, so I'm amazed that at how quickly the technology has died out. So it's just amazing to me. So the modem has pretty much gone away. I mean, there's not too many people that are dial-up. I know a lot of people that are still, you know, in the rural areas still have to use the modem to dial-up, but I can't imagine going back to that. Broadband is so it's integrated with our society so much today. You think of anything that you do on the internet now. Think about podcasting and through iTunes. I mean, this podcast is probably going to be about 10 to 15 megabytes. With a modem, I mean, the amount of weight, I mean, that would take at least probably 30 minutes to download, where you get it in just a minute or, you know, a couple minutes with broadband. So anyway, so kind of the rest of the history with modems with me, I know at a certain time in the mid-90s, you know, we got 28.8, which, you know, sped things up a little bit, and then eventually we had 56K. Now, around 1997, I got a job doing tech support when I was going to college at University of South Carolina in Columbia, South Carolina, and I did internet tech support. It was a great time of my life. I worked with a bunch of guys that did internet tech support. It was for a company called National Support Center. It was a lot of fun. And we supported dial-up users. And I remember right after that time, I worked there for about a year, and I went to work at an ISP. And the big push, the big thing was the 56K modems, the new technology. There was the K56 Flex, if you remember those terminologies. And then there was the X2. I think X2 was done by US Robotics. It was two different chipsets. X2 was US Robotics, and Rockwell did K56 Flex. So anyway, I remember we had an entire rack of 56K modems that users dialed up to. We had about 50 modems, and they were the X2 technology. But I remember at that time, you know, this is before broadband was real big, I was like, this is amazing. This is so fast, 56K. I mean, that's almost ISDN. Like, ISDN single channel is 64K. So it was amazingly fast. But, you know, very quickly, we moved into the late 90s, broadband came around and pretty much killed the modem. Just like they say, video killed the radio star. That old song. I mean, broadband pretty much killed the modem. So it's neat to look back in retrospect at the days of online services and bulletin board systems and to think about, you know, the dialing up and using your modem and your mom picking up the phone on you, cutting off your connection and yelling at you and hearing the crazy noises, you know, trying to turn the modem volume off because you're late at night wanting to dial up. I mean, these are common memories for a lot of us that grew up in this era. And, you know, I miss it. I definitely miss it. It was it really sucked. The speed, of course, it was extremely slow. But there was something magical about dialing up and hearing those noises and making that connection. You know, I remember using, you know, dialing up to bulletin board systems and using X modem or Z modem protocol to download files. It was definitely good times. So that's it for tonight. That's modems. That's our topic for this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. And thank you for listening. I'm glad you're tuning in. And definitely send me an email It's podcast@boringbeigebox.com, or you can jump on the forums at forums.boringbeigebox.com. Check us out, and thanks for listening. Have a great week.